And so, time for our album reviews in Thursday Night's Arena. In the same week that he turned 60, new album from Morrissey, California Sun, is a collection of cover versions, 12 songs from the 1960s and 70s. Bob Dylan and Carly Simon, Dionne Warwick, amongst the original owners of the songs, if you like. Also up for review, Welsh musician Kate Le Bon's album Reward, written when she swapped Los Angeles for some solitary time. Did a bit of woodwork, I believe, in the Lake District. And finally, Mike Scott and the Waterboys back, would you believe it, with yet another album, Where the Action Is. Album number 13 boasts a guest appearance from Clash guitarist Mick Jones. With me in studio, we have Jackie Fox and Simon Marr. We'll start with a bit of Morrissey and the Joni Mitchell song, Don't Interrupt the Sorrow.
Wind of change, patriarchs, snug in your Bible Belt dreams. God goes up the chimney like childhood. Santa Claus, the good slaves love the good book. A rebel loves the cause.
Don't Interrupt the Sorrow there, and that's from Morrissey's new album, California Sun. Now, when you both came through the door, you started at the minute of, what is he doing? What is Morrissey at? What on earth is this all about?
Yeah.
So, before you start that conversation, Simon, just tell me what he has done on this album.
He has decided, as he is entitled to do, he has gone back into his songbook and decided there's songs from the 60s and the 70s that I want to cover. Yeah. And he's covering them in a uniquely Morrissey sort of a way. But with so many of the songs, it sounds like, if nothing else, he's never heard them before. And he's just been handed a song sheet and so, sing that. Yeah. And it's been recorded and now it's been released as an album.
Although that track that I just played, I believe, was one of your highlights on the album, Jackie Fox. Was it the only highlight you could find?
I think we were just saying there as it was playing, it was the best of a certain bunch more than anything else. And you have these 60s and 70s time when Morrissey was growing up and it was the pre-Smiths, and he's talking about how this was a time when he was growing up and developing his own musical taste, and that's why he's chosen these covers to, I suppose, reinvigorate in a way and give it a little polish that maybe wasn't available at the time. But what you have is something, you know,
he decided he'd polish Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell. Good luck now with
that's the thing.
Morrissey.
And, you know, Morrissey is known as one of the greatest lyricists of all time. And you kind of have to ask your questions like, hold on, why would you do an album of covers when you already have that content inside of you?
That was what I thought to myself. And I said to myself, what is he singing? Maybe the lyrics of these songs are as important as the actual melodies of these songs themselves. Did you find any coherence across the choices, Simon?
He said what he wanted to do is he didn't really want to talk about anything. He didn't want to make any particular comments. He just said, I just want the music to speak for itself. And that's what he said with this. And in fairness, the music does speak for itself.
Yeah.
But even then, even for Morrissey, the musicianship or the sound or even the vocal on it, it just feels a bit hodgepodge.
It doesn't even seem like Morrissey, because what you have is he talks about kind of this protest, and it's an album of protest, and you do have songs in there that are about the civil rights movement, and there's a Vietnam protest song in there, and there's one from Joni Mitchell about, you know, the patriarchy. But then you have him in his public persona as a person who's going out and supporting political parties like For Britain and the English Defence League, you know, the founder there, the controversial Tommy Robinson, and somebody that he was supporting only 2 weeks ago. And he even, you know, this album raises more questions than it answers.
Only thing I'm wondering is, did somebody say, look, get him to do a bundle of covers, he won't write anything that we'll have to spend months and weeks and years apologising for.
But it's in, because we reviewed World Peace Is None of Your Business on Arena.
Let's go back, the original album,
3 or 4 years ago. And they got a 4 out of 5, and it's great, and he still has things that people want him to sing about. But I think what people have found with Morrissey recently is like, okay, Morrissey, now the trick here is don't talk. Don't ever speak about anything anymore.
Don't give your opinion.
Yeah, don't give your opinion, because apart from everything else, it seems to be the exact opposite of what you used to say. And then he's so, and as whether this is an escape or this is a, well, look, yeah, you could well be right, Sean, is that, look, this is safe enough. Nobody's going to give out to you for this.
Standout tracks for you amongst them were Wedding Bell Blues.
Wedding Bell Blues is nice, yeah. No, he does, like, he takes a stab at some tunes, you know, and when he, and some of them, they really, really don't work. He does Roy Orbison's It's Over, but when he takes a go at Wedding Bell Blues and Loneliness Remembers What Happiness Forgets, they sound like Morrissey.
All right, well, here's Wedding Bell Blues.
I love you so, I always will, and in your voice I hear a choir of carousels. Oh, but am I ever gonna hear my wedding bells?
My Wedding Bell Blues, a Fifth Dimension hit in the 1970s, was it?
Yeah. But I always liked the song, and perhaps that's something to do with it, you know, is that I always liked the song, but it's one of those, it's kind of a pop standard that you can do what you like with. It's when he goes after, you know, real gems and the likes of Bob Dylan, you know, that you look and you kind of go, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah, but even with that cover that he did there, you wouldn't even know that Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day is in it.
He's in there,
it's
yes,
a whinge in the background. It's a tiny little bit of support. He has really good heavy hitters in this album in terms of special guests like Billy Joe Armstrong. You've got the artist known as Laura Pelagozzi as well, and they just fade into the background. They might even just get a sentence or an ooh and ah, and they kind of seem like a bit of a waste.
And Laura Nero wrote that song back in the 1960s, kind of a folk. She'd be huge in the folk world.
You know, and I think when it works quite well. But when it doesn't, it's bizarre the level to which it doesn't. And it's not like he's put, you know, you think, oh, he's put an interesting slant on these, or he's made them really, really him. It's like he's just made them really, really something else. But we don't quite know what it is.
And you're sure you're not putting your distaste for his politics in the way of listening to this album?
I don't think so. Like, Morrissey had a real opportunity there to take some well-known songs from the 60s and the 70s and push them into his Morrissey land and take them a little bit a step further, especially in a time when so much kind of musical availability is around in terms of the studio, and make the most of it,
and
but
Morrissey's
also give it his own stamp.
Morrissey's
so well
musical
known,
land
and his voice
is one you
so
like.
Distinctive,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it's just not there.
You're just not happy with it, either of you. Stars from you, first of all, Jackie?
At 2 out of 5.
And what are you saying, Simon?
I think that's probably fair enough, but there's one thing that Morrissey has in his favour, is that he has gone and he is almost self-destructed numerous times now, after Viva Hate, after Maladjusted, all that sort of stuff, but he comes back every time, and fingers crossed he comes back after this, but this is going to be a challenge.
A tweet from David Dinmore, I believe, or he says, desperate cover by Morrissey. Sometimes the best tribute to an artist is not to cover their song. Possibly in agreement with the pair of you on that one. All right, let's move on then to Reward, fifth album from Welsh singer Kate Le Bon. A year spent solitary life in Cumbria. Now, what sent her off into Cumbria? I believe to do a lot of woodwork.
Yeah,
bit obsessed with the woodwork I am.
So, you know, Kate Le Bon, she would be known for, you know, pushing experimentation in her music and becoming almost genreless. And her last album was in 2016. But, you know, she has been doing a lot of collaborative projects with different people like Tim Presley, and she played on Deer Hunter's new album. So this is her fifth album, and it saw her going into the wilderness and living a year in solidarity in the around the Lake District area, basically in northwest England.
A year learning, in solitary, was it?
Yeah, learning woodwork, not really talking to many people, apart from obviously whoever taught her woodwork, but kind of, it's kind of like the romanticism. It's like, I'm going to do a Bon Iver on it and just go away and get into my thoughts, see where it takes me. And that really comes across in this album. You can feel those reflections. You can feel that journey through her music. And it's like she's hammering out a thought process. And as she says, she's mourning a certain time of her life, and this is her way of dealing with
it. I think the mourning is very much to the fore in this song, Daylight Matters. Daylight Matters there from Kate Le Bon and her new album Reward. I love you, I love you, I love you, but it goes on to say you're not here.
That's it, yeah.
It's a heartbreak album, essentially this, is it, Simon?
Yeah, I love you but you're gone, yes. Mm. She's talked about how the album itself is about a major event that happened in her life, and it starts with a track called Miami, and you work it as you go along. It seems to be, it's definitely an album about heartbreak and a breakup and what you do and how you manage to recover from it. But it starts, she's again, lyrically, she's really, really honest about what she says. Yeah. You know, and probably in the past, she used to maybe sort of dress it up a lot, whereas now she's got to that point where she's saying, I love you, but you're not here. I love you, but you're gone. It's a little bit clearer than she ever was.
Yeah, and the voice, that's one style that you hear in the track we just heard, Daylight Matters, but there are a lot of styles across this, but it's always her.
It's always her, and it's that kind of distinction. And you know how you were saying there about how she constantly says, I love you, I love you. And it's that repetitiveness throughout the album. It kind of gives a sense that she's constantly thinking about what she's singing, and she's trying to wrap her head around it. And, you know, she's on her own, she's pouring her heart out, and she's trying to work through those emotions and the different aspects of her life. But even complimenting that, she never was a person to kind of want to pigeonhole her music and, you know, where it should fit, I suppose, on the genre spectrum. And it's kind of particularly, she doesn't have a territory really with this. You can't categorize the sounds that were in there. If you were trying to write down, what is that? It's very hard to distinguish the oriental sounds from unusual horns, and she captured you in this like web of sounds. It's incredible.
And you gotta remember, she wrote all of these at the piano, and then the orchestrations, which are many and varied, came in obviously later on.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff was recorded. Like, so she wrote an awful lot of the songs then when she was making furniture in Cumbria, you know, but she went back then to LA and she got an awful lot of the bits recorded. But she said a huge amounts of it were recorded separately. And then she took everything back there and put it back together. And it's amazingly unified sound. Yes.
Okay, well, let's listen to another track then, Magnificent Gestures. There we go, Magnificent Gestures from Kate Le Bon and her new album Reward. Yeah, you were saying as we were listening, don't know what half the instruments are on there. Some of the woodwork tools clearly were used for that little sound effect
in
the background.
You can hear all sorts of noises that are going on there.
And a very different voice, vocal quality to what we heard the previous track.
Yeah.
I think you're both happier with this one, with you first of all, Simon.
Yeah, I think this is very, very decent. This is really, really good, and probably her most accessible album yet, while still maintaining the weirdness, which is a good thing. So I think this is 4 out of 5.
And what are you saying, Jackie?
I absolutely adore this album, but I think, you know how we were talking about, this is all done on the piano and then built on a later date. Mm. I would have loved to have heard what it was like paired back, and just having her and the piano to maybe get that tenderness of a really, really hard time in her life. So it's a 3 out of 5 for me.
Three from you. All right. Final album that we have up for consideration this evening, Where the Action Is, from The Waterbys, a band who have continued to be making music since their emergence back, believe it or not, in 1983. Let's listen to the opening track, title track as well. I wanna hear one song that tells how I feel. Where the Action Is, the opening track and the title track from the new Waterboys album. Mike Scott giving the full-throated Mike Scott in that. Kitchen sink and all involved here, Simon.
He does this. No, he's given it loads, in fairness, and it's almost as if the older he gets, the more productive he gets, because he feels he has to get these albums out while he can. And then, I suppose, because he's got so many people who are working around him, he says himself, he wants to work. He wants to work with all these different musicians, and he wants to do all of these different styles. But that first track is kind of like it's a sort of a homage or a tribute to a 1960s Northern Soul song. You know, you can tell by the Hammond organ and the melody all the way through. But he just updated himself, and he's gone through and he says, I want to talk about Mick Jones. I want to talk about the environment. He wants to talk about all of the Mike Scott things, but he wants to cloak them in that unmistakable Waterboy sound.
And has the sound developed anything or some? I don't mean that it's stuck in the past. It's true to itself, but it doesn't seem to be old to my ears anyway, Jackie.
That's the thing, because this is their third album kind of in this decade, and it's a successful string of albums that you see the Waterboys kind of pushing into new territory, but also keeping their 1988s, you know, Fisherman Blues kind of pulsating through every so often. And you saw that they're kind of continuing that legacy with Where the Action Is that we heard there. It's a powerhouse of catchiness, and it's just a natural progression of their sound in a way. It's an example of an aging rock star who is still in their prime, and just a testament to the songwriting that Mick Scott, you know, does, that he can remain engaging for so long to all different types of audiences. I mean, so one song, The Right Side of Heartbreak, is going to continue their legacy, and it's easily up there with the music they were producing in the mid and late 80s. And, you know, even though at points in the album you do have kind of the Waterboys and Mick Scott pushing into experimentation that goes a bit too full throttle into hip hop and rap, and it's a kind of a fun frenzy that spirals at times, the energy and that original energy of them is still there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the kind of themes that are here, the environment being one of them. Is how political an album is it, or are there just some straightforward love songs, heartbreak type of songs on here as well, Simon?
An awful lot of the time he's telling stories, you know. So we mentioned Mick Jones and the Clash. So he writes, there's an entire song that he wrote about meeting Mick Jones, bought him some Coca-Cola, and all the times they hung out. You know, there's another track, Ladbroke Grove Symphony, which is all about, you know, gentrification in London.
Yeah, you know, and we hear the traffic on Ladbroke Grove.
There's those sort of tracks. He then, you know, he'll get a little bit political on some, and then as Jackie mentions, when it tends to get that little bit experimental, you kind of go, okay, you know, Mike, now's the time
pull it back a bit. Yeah.
But there's something that I kind of like about that, and the reason I like it is because it's not moderated, it's not curated.
He's not checking himself.
It's not a focus group who said, yeah, look, this is the right sound to go for. He's gone for this. Sometimes it works really well, sometimes you go, oh, no, Mike. You know, but that's okay.
And you can just tell that he's really excited to be in the band as well, and that kind of comes through the music.
Let's have a little listen to of a little bit of Right Side of Heartbreak, Wrong Side of Love before we go.
You pretend to be untouchable, but we both know that's a bluff. To keep you on the right side of heartbreak and the wrong side of love.
Just a little taste of that. Stars from you, Simon, for Waterboys.
I think as long as the Waterboys stay away from that sort of free festival in the 70s sort of a thing that they do sometimes, then this is always going to be good. So I think this is a solid 3.
Solid 3. And from you, Jackie?
I'm going to go for a solid 4. I think they do the tenderness right. They get the catchiness right. They just get the sheer excitement of the band right.
And all right. That's Where the Action Is from the Waterboys, the other two albums that we spoke about tonight, with Jackie Fox and Simon Marr. California Sun from Morrissey, and Reward from Kate Le Bon.